Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaming Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaming Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning to everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. We'll open the service by singing number 49 in the Mennonite hymnal. Number 49, and would you stand, please?
Having our sharing time a little early in our service, so if there's something you'd like to share, you can raise your hand and the mic will be brought to you.
This is Mary Ellen. Punta asked me to share a thank you for everybody who prayed for her and send cards and visits and so on. She is very happy this morning. She has her head up. She had to have it down all week or ever since surgery, so this morning she could have her head up. And so she has a week off from work yet, and then we'll probably be going back the following week if everything goes okay. And also pray for her mom. She's scheduled for cancer for surgery of the cancer of the colon on May the 2nd. And also with Ponce, pray for peace for her. She, I think, kind of expected her vision was going to be good. The surgery is over, and it isn't. It's going to take a while for the eye to clear. So just so she has understanding of that and peace about it.
This is Darla. Friday night, I had been with one of my friends in the ER at Ephrata, and I had an experience with a lady, another patient that was there. She seemed very distraught, and so my friend and I went over and asked if we may pray for her, and she said yes, please, right away. And as we were praying for her, when we were done, she just kept saying over and over, thank you so much, and poured out her story. And she's a lot on her right now. Her husband was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He had fallen and broke his shoulder. She's recovering from shoulder surgery. Just a lot. And so she asked us to continue to pray for her. And she said it was fine if I shared it with our church to pray for her as well. Her name is Tracy Poole. She lives right here in Reinhold, so I told her I would do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Many of you are following on Caring Bridge, Lillian's progress, but she was discharged from the intermediate care unit yesterday and is in a regular room at Reading Hospital in Building E. She is responding and I think would enjoy short visits. And there may be a time that our church can be more helpful in sitting with her longer periods of time, too, in the coming weeks, as her sisters and some close relatives have been doing that a lot. But I think that need may be available to us then as well.
This Saturday at Weaver's Market, Leaf Group is holding a car wash from 8 to 1 to raise money for our Guatemala trip.
That was this coming Saturday? Yep. Okay.
For those ladies that were unable to attend the ladies' retreat, I just wish you could have all been there. It was quite a time as we listened to Lisa, Gina, and Brenda tell their God stories. It was a time of many tears, a time of healing, a time of lots of laughter. Anyhow, we, like I said, they were telling their God stories, and we gave all the ladies a journal to write in to start telling their God story. And there are extra ones back in the table back there, so whoever wanted to go and couldn't, or if you didn't even want to go, please help yourself to journals back there till they're gone, and just start thinking about your God story and what you would like to write in there. Thank you.
This is Lena Brown. I'd like to ask prayer for a friend, and I cannot give her name because she would not want me to. A mother who this week, because her son was deep into drugs, called the police, and he is now in prison. And she's feeling, I think I could say, guilty or shameful that she had to do this as her mother, and it's her son in prison. When I said to her, what can I do to help? She said, please pray.
Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers, that you're with us. You welcome and encourage us to share our lives with you, to come to you with thanksgiving and with our requests. We thank you for your faithfulness to us in the past. and for your faithfulness, which you will continue to show in the future. We pray that you would continue to bless Pontavon. Thank you that she's past the point where she has to keep her head down and that she can be upright. And we pray for peace about the slow recovery and improvement in her vision. We pray that it would be restored and even better than it was before. We pray for Tadam as she anticipates surgery for colon cancer. God, we pray that that would go well, that you would bring healing to her and she'd be able to trust you through this process. We pray for the lady that Darla got to interact with and pray for, Tracy. God, she sounds like she has experienced much challenge and difficulty, and I pray that she would look to you and through these things that you would work them out, God. Thank you for Lillian's improvement, and we pray that that would continue, and we pray that as a church family, some of us would be able to perhaps sit with her or just encourage her to pray for her. We pray for her continued healing, God. Thank you for the youth group and their plans to go to Guatemala. We pray that you would continue to provide financially for that and just prepare them and the work service ministry ahead. Pray a blessing on their car wash. Thank you for the ladies' retreat, Lord, and the special time that it was. And I pray that you continue to encourage the ladies and all of us to be recognizing the God stories in our lives, to be remembering them and to be open to sharing them. We pray for Lena's friend, this mother who made the difficult decision in relation to her son. Lord, we pray that you would use it for good and that you would bring life change for him. If they don't know you, Lord, we pray that they would be drawn to you. Thank you, God, and we just invite your continued blessing on our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would the ushers come forward for the morning offering? There's one quote that I found this morning just searching for something. When the grass looks greener on the other side, it's the Holy Spirit telling you to water the grass that you're standing on. I thought it was pretty good. Let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to come together and worship you and to praise you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us, your wisdom will guide us, and your love will move us. Just also pray that you bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a blessing for me to have Bob share this morning because it means I can sit and listen. We all know Bob, and I'd just like to offer a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for how we can encourage one another. I thank you for Bob's willingness to share what's on his heart and through your word. I pray that you bless him as he communicates his thoughts to us, and we just invite your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will we survive or will we flourish? That's a catchy title that I didn't come up with, but last Sunday, as we visited Lydia at EMC or EMU, we went with her to the church that she normally worships in. Paul Reed, a pastor who came to this congregation for last Sunday from Belfast, Ireland, was the speaker. Those of you who are old enough remember the time in Belfast, probably in the 80s and early 90s, in which there was quite an uprising going on, a lot of terrorism, a lot of threats. A very scary time for the Christian church, and his church in particular. They had to decide whether to be safe or whether to find a way to make a difference. One day he was asked to join a small group of other leaders throughout the city to meet with a small group of terrorists, to get to know the terrorists, to learn what made them tick, what was going on in their lives and in their families, and to become friends to them. No one but his immediate family and a few other leaders from the church knew about this. It would have been dangerous for this to become public. So as he learned about their convictions, it was a life-changing experience for him and for his ministry. He felt he was being faithful to God's calling in a time that we heard about, but few of us ever experienced anything like that. When Phil asked me if I would speak today, I reflected upon the many changes that have happened here at Gaiman's over the years, as well as some of the current changes that we are thinking about and talking about and praying about for our future. When I was a child, we had services here every other Sunday. We alternated with Alleghenyville. There were persons who came here one Sunday and went to Alleghenyville. There were people from Bowmansville and possibly other congregations who alternated as well and met at Alleghenyville. Today that is a historical building and used only for special occasions. The point is, things are different today. Our church is growing. We're looking at a more useful, more improved, a larger building to house our growth. We're looking at, or we're hearing about, the upcoming retirement of our associate pastor. We're talking about calling another pastor an associate pastor. We are a thriving congregation, one with opportunities to minister in our community. We have a vision to think the mission that we have printed in the bulletin slips my mind right now, but we say, let's walk with Jesus personally, locally, and globally. We have a large group of children in our church. We have a youth group, some of whom are thinking about going off to college. Some are already in college. We have students who are studying for the medical field, some who will be looking at other kinds of careers in education and marketing and law, perhaps, and many other kinds of things. So as we look ahead, our vision is expanding quite rapidly. We have people, Jared in particular, who's away in a service training program right now, with the intention of going to a country that is filled with challenges for him. We have children who come up here and gladly share their gifts every Sunday morning. They are thriving, they are growing. We have many families in our church, some who are doing very well, some who are hurting, some who are experiencing illness or challenges of one kind or the other. We have seniors in our congregation, and we're happy to have several of them here today who live in retirement communities, who are faithful to the church, but who are with us less often than we're used to. We all have neighbors. We have coworkers. We have friends who we are reaching out to. And all of that means that our church has changed, it has expanded, and we've grown from both within and from without. We have more activities here at the church, such as release time. We've been active in going on missions trips to China, upcoming to Guatemala, to other places. We have release time. We have four quiz teams from this small congregation. We have a website. We are working at a safe church. We are doing all of these things, and we're wanting to respond to the call that God has given us. So growth often or almost always means we're challenged and stretched in many different directions. The question is, how do we prepare for the new, the different, and the difficult that we are blessed with? I'm going to use an illustration that has its limits, but I think to some extent it applies. When I was a boy, I grew up on a small dairy farm. We had about 25 cows and some young stock. We had maybe 300 or 400 chickens. We did some farming, both I think 60 or 70 acres on our farm, plus some neighboring places that we made hay. We did all of this to support a family. To Lamar, this may seem like a small farm, something he could do with his hand tied behind his back. But we didn't have the equipment that he uses. We probably couldn't turn around in some of our fields with some of the equipment that he's using. Recently, I talked with a farmer who is quite successful, and he had introduced robotics to assist him on his farm. They did the milking. He was out raking hay while the cows were being milked. The cows came to the milking parlor when they were ready to be milked. His smartphone told him if there were any difficulties. There were many ways in which this lightened his load. And so if we were to change and go from a farm of 25 cows to one that has 75 or 100 cows, how would things change? We would have to become more creative, more efficient. We might have to grow a different variety of crops to feed all the animals. We would have to hire additional persons to take over some of the tasks, and the farmer himself would oversee the operation, but he would not carry the whole load. Are there passages in the scriptures that may help us as we consider, as we think and pray and plan for the future of our church? I want for us to spend a little time reflecting about God's provision for the church, the Holy Spirit as our guide and enabler. The Holy Spirit is the one who shows or manifests God's presence in the world. A function of the Holy Spirit is to help us to function in ways that encourage people's faith that God is near, that He is working to fulfill His promises, His purposes in the church, and to bring blessing to His people. In Ephesians 4, we read about the gifts of the Spirit which are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of God. Did you know that God gave each one of you a special gift? Each one received what He wanted to give you. What is my gift? I remember many years ago sitting, not in this auditorium, but in one of the earlier editions of Gaiman's, and one Sunday morning I was sitting here and Ed Weber was our song leader, and Ed turned around and said to me, "You lead the next song." There was a long pause, and it was so long that Ed got up and led the song. I wish that maybe Ed and I had had a conversation earlier in which he said, "You have a gift, and I would like to see you develop it, and I'll help you do it." What might have happened if that had happened and I had responded? I don't know. But maybe that was not meant to be. At the same time Christ gave these gifts to people, he made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, some to care for and teach God's people. Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. In other passages, there are additional lists of gifts that have been given to the body of Christ. I believe that we as Christians, as members of the body of Christ that meets here at Gaiman's, we are called to develop and to use the gift or gifts that have been given to us. I was fortunate to have been a student at Eastern Mennonite College during the time when Marin Augsburger was president. He's now an older man than I am, but a very gifted man. And some of the gifts that I saw in Marin was he was an evangelist, he was a preacher, he was a teacher, he was an administrator, he was a theologian, he was a church planter, an author, and the list could go on. He was gifted with an incredible memory. And he would stand before thousands of people and preach for an hour without a note. He had a photogenic memory, I guess, or I don't know what you call it, but somehow when you heard him speak, it was like he was reading out of one of the books that he had written. As a young man, I looked at him and said, boy, I wish I could be like that. I wish I had that many gifts. I wish I could do all of them as well as Marin does. What I didn't know at the time was that he he told us this in chapel one day, that his father was a very quiet man, very shy. He was the janitor of the church. And his gift was one of praying. And he talked about how moved he was to find his father sometimes in the closet praying for him. And Marin had four or five other brothers who were successful in much the same way as Marin was. But Dad was there praying for him. And so that was Dad's gift that he gave, and he developed it to the point that he was able to share it with many of others. So we can be envious of a person who's so gifted. We may want to step aside and say, anything that I can do, they can do better, so why don't I let them do it? But as students, Marin challenged us over and over in the chapel talks to look at all of life as spiritual, that no matter what our vocation was, to see it as a call from God to be used by Him and for Him. As a counselor, I felt called and felt that my gift was the gift of mercy, an ability and a sensitivity to deal with the hurts of others, to be able to listen to them, to assist them to make choices that sometimes change their lives. Have you been in positions where you've been asked to function in roles that were not best fit for your skill set, or had too much on your plate so that you say, there's no way I can get all of this done. And felt that all these things that I need to do keep me from doing what I'm best at, what I'm capable of doing, what I really feel I am called to be doing. Rather than giving each of us all of the gifts, most of us are limited to one or more. Romans 12 says, he did this so that no one would think of himself more highly than he ought to think. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. God's plan is calling us to be the body. As God distributes his gifts among his people, his power, his love, and wisdom are displayed gloriously, and the body is edified. They are God's provision to equip his children to minister to others. In Exodus 18, we have the story of Jethro's father-in-law's concern for him. And perhaps Moses may have had a feeling, I don't know, this is not in the Bible, it's my imagination, but maybe he thought Jethro's meddling a little here. And so the story goes that, and I'll just read a few verses. Now Jethro, priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses sent away his wife, Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh. So Moses was off fighting the Amalekites and leading a people of 2 million or more. And things got so difficult that he sent his wife and sons back to their father and to her father. Jethro sends word to Moses and he says, I, your father Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and two sons. Perhaps he was thinking, you're too busy. I don't want you to neglect your family. I really loved my daughter, and when I gave her to you, I wanted you to be her husband and not neglect her. I don't want you to exhaust yourself. You're trying to do too much. You need some downtime. Later, Jethro observed Moses was not managing the Exodus very effectively. From morning to evening, the people would gather around him and stand there waiting to have their cases heard and decided by Moses. What you are doing is not good. You and the people who come to you will certainly wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me, and I will give you some advice. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Among them was to show them the way, sharing knowledge and equipping his followers to make some of their own decisions. Also to select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and ten. This will make your load lighter because they share it with you. Listen, equip, promote is sound management advice. And while this goes back 40 more years ago, when I was in grad school and was taking a management class, one of the passages or one of the books that we used had Exodus 18 in it as some sound principles. And my professor, who was a Jewish man, quite devout, was really pleased to tell us the story of how Moses managed things. If you read the scripture, you'll notice that Moses' method did not come from God. It was advice from Jethro. So today we don't feel like we have to follow exactly somebody ahead of 1,000, someone ahead of 100s, 10s, and 50s, and that sort of thing. But the principle applies. Select, equip, and promote. What if the church at Gaiman's were to focus upon identifying and developing gifts God has given this body? As you think about the gifts you have or the gifts that others have in the congregation, how can we intentionally identify them and select them and say, we need to develop this further so that we don't weigh our leadership team down with some of the minute details and yet important work that needs to be done in a growing church? Serving on the pastoral care team and sitting with Phil and Kelly, and also having been part of several small congregations in my time, I've always been fairly close to knowing what goes on in a pastor's life. I've known about some of the challenges that they face. I've known about some of the hurts they hear about. I've known some about the difficult things that they are asked to do. And I've known that there's never enough time to do it all. As we face the time we are living in, the opportunities we have in our community, as we are looking at possibly building, calling new leadership, and so forth, I think we are irresponsible if we don't ask the question, are there ways to lighten the load for our leadership team? In Matthew 16, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he tells his disciples to get in the boat to go ahead of him while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come with you in the water." "Come," he said, and Peter got out of the boat and came toward Jesus. He saw the wind and the waves, and he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out to the Lord to save me. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" As I bring this to a close, I ask you to close your eyes and to visualize, to see this scene of Jesus seeing his disciples straining at the oars in the middle of the lake. And as he walks to them, Jesus sees us. He sees you, just where we are. And he will walk toward us, even if it means walking on the water. The disciples were terrified, but his response is, "Take courage. I am your comforter, your joy, your provider, your healer, your source of hope." Can you trust him at his word that he will take this congregation to places of success and that we will flourish? Amen.
Take your church and Sunday school hymnal and turn to number 119 as we think about our Father leading us through the next couple of months. Thank you.
let's stand. Father, we thank you for this body that meets here at Gaiman's. Thank you for each member, each participant in our life together. Bless us as we go forth this week. Give us a clear vision of where you want us to go, and help us to prepare ourselves to meet that vision. Amen.